Blog Talk Radio.
What you say? My spaceship got no brakes.
No brakes.
My waitress called me babe.
Oh, yeah.
She wanna serve a brother all day.
Come
y'all
down.
Catch these, I'ma add a little crate.
All right.
Hold up, let me get a little space.
Woo.
Y'all niggas copy and paste.
Shoot.
So I gotta keep it locked in the safe.
Yeah, yeah.
No safe words when I spank them.
Yeah.
Ain't feel good, I should thank them.
Yeah.
No bad vibes in the sanctum.
Yeah. No bad vibes in the sanctum.
I'm thinking you niggas, yeah, I ain't feeling too well. Love me or hate me, oh man, I feel like Fidel.
Yeah.
I lock it and load it, and you go drop it in a moment. And all this lock of emotion, I gotta get on my shell.
Won't
pick up the phone, I treat it just like Adele. She want a hello, a brother, I send them hellos to hell. Got a halo of horns, I hope I have a prevail. I'm out here laughing at rappers, it's like the best of Chappelle.
Okay.
We kill beasts and rotate. Y'all niggas got no taste. Sprinkling a little old bag.
Woo.
My spaceship got no brakes. Unless I see a motherfucker bet. I hop out, niggas better pay. Handshake,
no thanks.
All right, Afronauts Radio is on the air. Thanks for joining us. We have my compadre, Seth. What's up, man?
Hey. Peace. How you doing, fam?
All right, we're all doing well. All doing well. And we have Demaraye Dinaran on the phone. How you doing, Demaraye?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. All is good. What's up?
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. So, gentlemen, today's show, we had a little switch up. Our guest with the Bay Area Street Pantry will not be joining us. There's a little flu, cold going around. People are catching it, and so she's sick, lost her voice. She'll be back on once she gets better. But like I said, we do have Demaraye on air from Dinaran Films to talk about his upcoming project and his award-winning work that you can catch on Amazon Prime, Diary of a Bad Man. Go check it out. Seth, you have anything you want to say before we get started, before we chop it up?
Yeah, just to say, I was just funny enough, watching Diary of a Bad Man yesterday on Amazon Prime. So I think most people make sure they go out there. High quality movie, good quality production. And obviously, Demaraye is a good friend of the show, so a man always does projects.
No.
Just interested to see where his latest ventures are.
Cool.
Yeah, so what is your your latest? I've seen a lot on Instagram. I've been sharing as much as I could. After the show, I'm gonna embed the YouTube video that you have explaining, Genoma, on our website. But yeah, would you mind explaining as much as you can about this new project?
Oh, yeah, so the Genoma or Ogenoma project is really Ogenoma. I had to correct it. That's the full name. And basically, you could say it's a Nollywood movie or an African movie. I think it's an African movie because it's not just for the Nigerian crowd. It's for the African crowd, but also for those in the diaspora with this movie, this particular movie. And it's just, like every time I look at Nollywood movies, you know, since 2007, I've been trying to do this since 2007, where I said I was going to come in and, you know, up the quality, and not just the quality of cinematography, but just the story, how the stories are told. So that's what Genoma is. It's something that's gonna. I think it's gonna be very impactful when it gets done. I'm being vague with it, you know, purposely. I just, you know, try to be, you know, give as much as I can. But it's a movie for the entire family. That way, you know.
So,
Images, you know, images to me are very important, and the images that we project out of ourselves, you know, we have to be extremely careful because it has the power to impact the way we think.
Yeah. So, Demaraye, what inspired the story?
My children, actually, if I count, it was my children. And it was also me going through the business part of filmmaking for, I could say for about, it was a year. Like when I was doing the crowdfunding for the Making of a Slave, I found myself in the business aspect of filmmaking and not the creative part. I couldn't even be creative because I was doing all the business work. I was doing the business plan. I was doing the scheduling. I was doing everything working on the with the left portion of the brain, you know. And then it was very strenuous because, you know, I would say that I'm kind of, you know, I might be more, well, no, I'm logical, so I won't say I'm just more creative, but it was just an area that I hadn't been used to going in that much. So after I finished putting in so much work with the slave, my head was hurting. It was like I did weights on my brain, and I laid back. The moment I finished, I laid back on the floor, and as I laid on the floor, seconds after that, the idea came in my head, and I discussed it with my children. My children was around me. Family, and then I bounced back up, and I was like, I got it, and then I started brainstorming with them, and that's where it came, and I wrote the script, I wrote the first draft of the script in 8 days I did it, and that was back in, I believe, November or early December, but I didn't finish the script until, I think end of March or early April, that's when the script was actually finished. So I went through maybe 20 drafts of the script.
Right, and this is a different direction to some of the previous work. So is it that you're trying to present a different side of the business?
I'm not so much a different side of the business, but what I'm doing is, you know, because I'm creative, is people often ask me, like, so what kind of movies you do? And they expect you to say, I do sci-fi or one genre. Right. And I don't do one genre. It's just like, I don't believe there is one genre. I think you only do one genre. I think that's kind of limited. I don't think that's the way creative people work.
Yeah.
I don't know, but... I agree, but
I think, as you said, people try to pigeonhole you because when they watch one thing, then they're waiting for the sequel or what, you know, they get in the mindset, right? So,
So mine is, you know, it's a mix of all. So it's my idea is a mix of all the things that we've been exposed to, you know, all the lessons we've gone through, all the schools and stuff that we've gone through. It's all influenced me and. Just what we're going through in just my regular life, my regular upbringing. So, you know, it's like a guy he said on my Facebook page. He was a guy that was supposed to produce my Diary of Fat Man 2. And I was saying about the Us movie. I don't really like the movie. I didn't pay too much attention to it when I was watching it. And one of the reasons I didn't really pay that much attention to the movie when I was watching it in the movie theater is because my mind was really zoned out into my own movie, the stuff I wanted to do. So, you know, maybe it was, you know, maybe it's good, I don't know. But he said that, well, it's good that a brother is doing movies that's not the typical gangster slave movies. And he coughed like that. So I was just like, look at this idiot. He don't know me. I just laughed at it. You know, sometimes I don't give people the energy to respond and stuff. I just say this idiot don't. He doesn't even know me to make a comment like that. To think that I'm only locked into one particular type of movie. And even with that is that the gangster movie I do is not the average gangster movie. I want to introduce the gangster movie it just has that cover of a gangster movie, but it wasn't a gangster movie, you know. And,
Definitely. Diary of a Bad Man was very, it was very layered and intricate movie, like much like Jordan Peele's first movie to get out. Like that was definitely layered. And but I agree. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for Us that much. It was decent. I mean, it was decent acting. It was pedestrian like story. You know what I mean? As far as that genre goes. But like, yes, you showed that we can do other types of movies, but you know, it was just an average movie to me. And I think there's plenty of those out there, and you know, there's something to be said for that the fact that Black people can make an average movie nowadays, and it gets a lot of hype and it makes some money, and that is good. But I always, you know, encourage and would like to see us push, you know, push the envelope forward and push the needle of progress, you know. So I'm excited about your family-friendly film, Genoma. And this is a live-action film, right?
Yeah, it's action. There's action in this one. This one is, this one is different. It's different. It's going to, I expect it to do a lot. I expect it to really be successful and really go. Like when I cut the trailer, I believe that trailer is just gonna. It's just something people haven't seen before, ever. They just haven't seen it before. Just never seen it. They just never seen this before.
Oh, so the trailer's already been shot? Or are you editing it now?
No, I haven't shot that trailer. I just got back to Nigeria. I just have everything. 99% of everything is done. I just got a little bit more funding to secure, and then we go to production next month. And
excellent.
Yeah. And then people say when I say to people that this movie Genoma is better than the making of a slave movie. It really is. And they just didn't think they couldn't imagine until they read the script, and then they were like, oh yeah, it's better. I said, you know, like Genoma doesn't take as much money to make as to make with the slaves does, but I believe like Genoma has the ability to finance all my other projects.
Right.
That's how confident I am with that Genoma one day. It can finance the others.
So is Genoma a cartoon or it's a?
No, it's alive. It's live.
Okay.
Yeah, it's live. It's live with people, but I do plan to do other things with it. So it's a franchise, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I see you on your Instagram. You sent out these kind of like art posters or drawings of like Uzan. By Devin Miles, they were done by Devin Miles, and it looks like a really cool drawing. And like I was like, oh, is this gonna be like a comic book, a cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
And so you plan to utilize all forms of media for this?
Yeah, it's gonna have different. It has a lot of layers to it, like a lot of layers. Like it has a long shelf life. Put it that way, it's gonna have a long shelf life. That it just has to get this. I just have to get the once I got the movie. Once the movie gets done, then you really, really understand and okay, you'll see exactly where I'm going with it, and then I can see, and then I can speak in depth about it. You know, the next move for it. So it's a project that I'll be on for a while.
And so you're gonna film this in in Nigeria.
Yeah, all in Nigeria. Nigeria. I got four locations that where it's gonna be shot. I went there. In one of the locations, there's one location that I would love to do it in, but I didn't have the funds to build the set there, so I'm building a portion of the set. So there's a palace which I'm having built, four locations. It's gonna take 20 days to shoot, and I met with the chief over there. He gave me free range of these areas to whatever I need to do. One of the chiefs from my tribe, he's trying to get me funding, so he's been backing it because I didn't know, but my tribe was the ones who actually started Nollywood. Big child, you know, just come to find out with my tribe, people from my tribe. And but when you look in Nollywood now, you won't find anybody from my tribe that represents it, right? So, you know, when he saw me, it's like he's been waiting all his life for this. And so he basically told them, the ones that person that's gonna put a, you know, give us a platform. They said the young man is in America, is in America, and that we must back him.
Go ahead. Okay, well, I was going to ask. So it's very interesting because there's been a lot of debate recently about, you know, how art forms, the direction of art forms, because obviously you're talking about a sense of creativity, whereas a lot of movies and music coming out is focused on obviously receipts, you know, how to expose it, and so formulas are created. So there's not really a creative element, there's just a formula, right? You know, and especially as you're saying, you're linking it back to the root where it's the storytelling aspect, which is where, you know, that's where movies and art and music, etc., comes from. So it's really a tale, really, of, you know, a as you said right here, a family and a young lady and her experiences. So
yeah,
you could see the kind of audience that it, you know, it would impact, as they'd say.
And there's a lot of there's just a lot of stories out there to tell, you know, a lot of stuff to tell. Even just like even just with the different tribes, like, you know, like I think in Nigeria we have like 350 different ethnic groups. I'm like, damn, that's like a lot. And you know, all of these stories and stuff can be told. You know, there's things that I put in my story that I know that some people are not even aware of. Like, there's things I've put in there, like the Great Wall of Benin, you know, which a lot of people don't know is bigger than the Great Wall of China, but we never got taught about that. So there's these things are mentioned in there. And when I was in Nigeria, I should have asked some Nigerians about it, because they knew. So I suspect that they probably don't even know that Benin has the biggest wall in the world. It's one of the, you know, it's an amazing structure, you know. And, you know, there's other things up in there from other African countries that it's a way to, you know, educate Africans and also those in the diaspora. But the movie's for everybody. Like, it doesn't really matter the race of the person. They all enjoy it, you know. And I think even like white people enjoy it, because people want to see us. They want to see, like, sometimes people run away from seeing the authentic Africa. Even Africans, they want to run away. And when I look at Nollywood, they're trying to imitate the West. And every time I see that, when I'm over there and I see that, I say, get that shit away from me. I don't need to see that shit. That shit's West. You know, I tell it's West, but I don't need to see that. That stuff is garbage. So they just say, you know, it's like, it's growing up in England. You have people that used to go to Jamaica, come back after 2 weeks, and all of a sudden their yard just starts talking like they're Jamaican, right? And it's just like, you just really you just look like an idiot. And Jamaicans, authentic Jamaicans, just look at you as an idiot, because you can't do better than the original,
right?
You know, so that's the same thing. Like some of these Nollywood producers just do, you know, they're just introducing nonsense. And, you know, my story is dealing with authentic Africa. That's where it's dealing with, showing Africa.
Yeah, and I think that's where the art form, in terms of the, as you said, the creative angle, because like anything else, things get stale after a while. And it always takes somebody brave to be willing to be creative, to say, well, actually, you know what, this is what I see. And, you know, even when you think about what... what's that movie you just referenced, Sheldon? The one before that.
Get Out.
Get Out, right. And that's what made it different, was nobody could have, you know, you couldn't foretold that script, because it was just unique. It was like a different take, but everybody could relate, you know what I mean? Everybody could and that's what made it special. So it's creative, but it's also a tale that people can relate to, because it hits home. And, you know, that's actually the best types of movies, because those are the ones you remember, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, so that's where I am with that. I got so many friends, like, Nigeria is a funny place. You just see, they just, any creative person just you just stand and just listen to people, and ideas are just flood, you know. But even with the Making of a Slave, I know a lot of people, I know a lot of black people, I know a lot of black and white people were exhibited fear over that movie. Like, I saw, like, people fearful of it, you know, and people respond to it all different ways, you know. Some people could see what it was, but for the most part, most people were caught up in their own mirror reflection of what they think that movie is, you know. Some people like, oh, it's going to excite you. You know, black people always come from a fearful stance. We're always coming. We respond to things out of fear. So when they see that, they're fearful. Like, oh, it's gonna cause, you know, whites to kill us. You know, that's literally what people say. It's gonna create what race riots. I'm like, my movie is going to create a race riot. Not cops. Gonna be black men. That's not gonna do it. But my movie's gonna do it. Okay. Smart. That's smart. And the way people would talk out against the trailer for a movie that was made, I would ask them, did you do this when any of the slave movies came out? Did you do this when any slave movies when you saw any video or gangster movie or anything that was depicted the murdering of Mennonite people? And, you know, they don't. Nobody does. My movie's going to incite all this stuff that you never raised your voice when you saw movies that were where we were killing each other or we were being murdered or we were being killed. You know? So people are weird. I find being weird. It's weird. Strange.
So when are you looking? What's the release date or time scale?
For next month, I plan to shoot it, like, you know, to start production like third week of next month, hopefully. No later than August, but if everything goes smoothly next month, towards the end of next month, it'll be 20 days. That's a month, basically a month shooting it, and then it won't be released to the public until early next year. So. And I'll do the premieres, of course. That means I'm going to premiere it in Nigeria, in London, New York, Houston. I'm going to try Canada and Jamaica to do the premiere. So we'll be following with it. And then run it through some film festivals, and then release it theatrically in the theater. Film festivals, I used to not like film festivals. So to me, film festivals, a lot of times I just used to think that they just like kind of rigged. It's like the lottery is rigged, right? But then I looked at it from a different aspect where it's not necessarily to win a film festival, it's just to get your exposure, because when your film gets played in a film festival, you get exposed to an audience that you may have not been able to reach. You get exposed to people who actually like films, who are film goers, and they get to see the movie. And if they like it, then there goes that word of mouth, then you just get more exposure.
Right. So you normally work with a cast of actors that you tend to, you know, bring along in a lot of your other movies. So is Genoma going to be kind of the same thing? And you mentioned Nollywood. Are you going to be bringing in actors from all over the African diaspora, or is this mostly going to be Nollywood type actors?
It's mostly Nollywood, but I have two Americans coming in. Well, the lady who plays Genoma, she's actually born in America, born and raised. But she's Nigerian. She's Yoruba. She's someone that actually she auditioned for Diary of a Bad Man, Diary of a Bad Man. She auditioned for that, but there was just not a role there for her. But I liked her look, and I liked her, and I'm going to come back to you. So years later, I came back to forget about her and brought her on. And then I have the great Douglas Robb. He's in it. He's going to be playing. He plays the antagonist in this movie. So you're going to get to see him. You're going to get to see him display a whole different type of character. Like, a whole different type of character he's going to get to display. He can be very, very... He can spread his wings with this character. And
Douglas Robb was the lead in Diary of a Bad Man, correct?
Yeah, yeah, he was the Diary of a Bad Man. And then I have...
And he's also been in Gotham. Wasn't he on Gotham as well?
Yeah, he's in Gotham. He's been on quite a few things on, like, you know, small roles on some of these networks. And then I have two actors coming in from Zambia.
Wow.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So people got to look forward to a big international release.
Yeah. I'm going to do, like, a, you know, independent release, though. Definitely in England. And, you know, that's the thing, is that you can put stuff independently. I think, like, a lot of times people, I don't know, I think we're lazy a lot of times, and we don't want responsibility, so we always want to make stuff and just hand it over to corporations, you know, instead of building ourselves and make the corporations go. Like, with The Making of a Slave, you know, my biggest fight with that was that I wanted to do it independently without, you know, without leaning on any corporate, you know, and that movie, Make Them Say, it has the elements to make $300 million in the box office. But hey, I might do it independently and only make $10 million. That's okay.
Right.
It's my control. And then giving it to corporate, it might make $300 million in the theaters. But how much are you getting off that? That's the thing. You know, I'm sure Jordan Peele didn't see that $300 million from the Get Out.
Right, and then how much of that is really your story? Like, how much are they going to change it and tell you that they don't want this and they want that?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why I always, you know, I've tried crowdfunding because, you know, investors, a lot of times, some of them want to, they want to have input. And they're not creative. It's like they're not creative. They don't, you know, they don't know anything. And they'll say some dumb stuff. I mean, I've had one investor that stated something, which was valid because he's a writer. So when, and he's, you know, he's conscious. And so when he says something, I could see his point of view and was able to adjust to it. But a lot of times you see a movie and, you know, is once you take it through those channels, it comes back. It's no longer your movie. It's a different thing after that.
And then people might be like, our people
are very critical that they'll be like, oh, well, you know, why didn't they get this person? Or why didn't they use a real Jamaican? Or why didn't they do this and that? And it's like money that the same people making criticize and complaining would never give to help make it happen. So it's money.
And I think when it comes to art as well, mm-hmm. there's a mindset about when you create something, you know, there's what we call intellectual property. So in many ways, you know, why are you keen to get a big, you know, step up? You need to gravitas and control of that property. So by the time you see it in its final version, as you said, not only people put their own, you know, personality and spirit on it, but the money, you know, you get the mm-hmm. you won't get the lion's share because obviously the controlling elements of it, they've decided, you know, how much they're gonna get out of it. And mm-hmm. it's funny when you talk about independence, I mean we're gonna talk about it in a little while, but even, you know, anybody who's a comic reader back in the day knows that mm-hmm. the comic industry is really struggling, you know, it's gone through really mm-hmm. you know, to the point that they were all gonna shut their door. And there's been mm-hmm. so many independents in the comic industry, but the legacy is that these movies and stories have lived on for decades to the point now,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're billion-dollar movies. And, you know, the guy was in mm-hmm. his 90s before he saw that, you know. And
wow,
at the same time, you know, it, you know, them comics have been going from the 40s plus, so, or 50s or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And that's, as you said, you know, to be a visionary, I think a lot of people, especially artistic people, aren't that brave, you know? And to be a visionary, you got to know what you've got, and you got to feel true to that. And you got to make it the way you feel.
There's also another mindset with artists as well. It's like somehow because it's art that it's not, you know, people say, well, why do I have to pay this much? It's just art. It's just a movie. Right. It's just a story. And people undervalue art a lot of times because they don't understand the creative process for making a film is just as intricate and complicated as making a car. You know what I mean? You still have to go through a process. And people deserve to be paid for their time and their talent and, you know, be able to live, like, you know what I mean? So that's the other mindset.
And I think the things that I would say to any creative is, I would say protect what you create, protect it. And it's like in the movie industry, like, for instance, I write a script and now I want to, and I'm going to direct it. But if I get a production company to do it or someone to produce it, then when it's all done, then that production company is going to be the copyright owner of it. And I, you know, that's the way it goes. But I just can't, that just don't sit right with me. So it's just like, nah. And even if I did get someone to do it, then I'm going to say, hey, I want to own some of that copyright.
Right.
And my bid is going to start off at like 90%. they can talk me down. But I don't want to know, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's the politics that's happening right now, I think, with Disney or so, isn't it? They're saying a high proportion of the movies and art that's coming out now is under the Disney umbrella, which ultimately they're not interested in the art. They're interested in, you know, the control, the dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose some of that creative spark there, and it's really independent like yourself. Really left to entertain the people because... You know, people get tired of stuff. You know, you can only do so many, you know, superhero movies and this. You know, you can only make a story stretch for so long before people are dying and desperate for something.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example of that is I remember interviewing a DC executive at WonderCon, and I asked, like, hey, how come you guys only do, like, Batman animated movies or Justice League animated movies? You have all those characters, and they're like, well, like the corporate people, they don't trust anything other than Batman or Superman. So they only let us do like one other movie a year. Everything else has to be either Batman or Superman. And it's like,
wow.
Like, so you're holding all, you have all this material, but you don't want to explore because you don't think it might not be financially viable and you don't want to take the chance or risk. Like, you have no confidence in your product? Like, crazy.
And that's why you have to do the independent thing, right?
Yeah.
That's definitely the way, being independent is definitely the way that you can circumvent that and make sure that the story is told the way that you want to tell it. And I think one of the things that you're known for, Demariah, is you believe in the children are the future, as Whitney Houston would say, right? You think that, like, you know, we need to address our youth first, and you know what I mean? And if we can get them and bring them forward in positive and enlightening ways, then our generations will be much better.
It will be. I think that's where we lack is that we don't look for the future. We look for us. We just look for adults. Like, it's like we haven't grown up.
Well, don't say we now, because you don't think that way, and we here at Afronauts don't think that way. As an indigenous show, we think seven generations ahead. So, but right.
Yeah.
There's a large segment of our people.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, you know, that's something I was going to say, a video I was going to make. You know, when people say, "All black men are this," or "Black men this," or "Black people this," I was going to say, "No, don't say that." Say the name of the person who offended you, who did you wrong. Say that person's name. That's who it is. It wasn't me. I didn't sleep with you. I don't run up beside you and do that. There was some, you know, the guys that did that to you, mention their name, because we keep blanketing it as if, you know, we paint everybody the same. It's black men, black women, it's this person, that person. Right? It's like, no, call that person's name. Get into calling the person's name, you know, and say that, then it puts things more effective. But yeah, people that I find, that I come across as, you know, native people that I come across, a lot of times we have a selfishness that, or not we, but many have a selfishness that they're not looking for future generations. They don't, it's like, I think that might even be true for people of oranges. I think people are just looking for their present situation, their present issues.
And definitely.
It's like people don't even care that like freedom of speech is being forced away from them.
Yes, the planet could be in danger of being uninhabitable in the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
They're thinking about now.
They're thinking about. I always say to people, I said, you've never been hungry before. They'd be like, no, I've been hungry. I said, you've never been hungry. You've never starved before. You don't even know what that feels like. You don't know what you would do for an apple. You don't know. You might sell your behind for an apple. And I said, you might sell your behind for an apple. And they'd be like, nah, all right. Because you don't know how that feels.
Yeah, that reminds me of that movie. I don't know if you remember back in Soylent Green. That's an old
uh-huh. Soil and Green is people. Yes, yes.
And a generation today, their mind sits so far from that kind of reality because that's the purpose of a place like a Hollywood and things like that, because you got to make everything convenient. That's why you need an alternate story, you know, like in many ways to show people more than one way to life, because the world we live in is very diverse. You know, it's not all about Hollywood.
Right. And I mean, that's what we try to do here. We try to bring that forth so that people know there is another paradigm out there, that you do not have to be just a corporate citizen and, you know, be a sheeple and not critically think. You know what I mean? Like we're critical thinkers here, and that's what we strive to do, is to show people that there is another reality, another paradigm.
Yeah.
But I think it's excellent that you are definitely focused on the children. We need to focus on our generations. That's definitely what's going to help improve the situation that we're in. Because just like you said, people, freedom of speech is going away. The climate is bad, but it's not all dire. It's just all it takes is just people to do the work and to think of the children and to think about the next generation, what they need to do to set up for success.
And people not to be silent, because silence is compliance. A lot of times people say silent when thinking that, I hate when people say that, what can we do, or this, or it's over. I just hate that type of weak thinking. It's never over. You breathe it.
It's a defeatist mentality.
Like,
yeah, I totally agree. When people say, what will my vote do? It won't do anything. I'm just one person. Like, that's a cop-out. Like, you just basically gave your power over to some invisible boogeyman because you're saying that you don't matter when you say my vote doesn't count, or what can I do? If you can speak, if you can do any action, then you can affect change in the world. Speak truth to power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Anyway, I gotta leave at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to thank. So we can check you out at dinnerandfilms.com. Anywhere else?
Yeah. Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Same.
Okay.
All the same handle. Yeah.
Okay. Dinner and Films on Instagram and on Facebook. All right. Thank you. We want to thank you for being on the show. And you have a great weekend. Tell you to say peace to the family.
All right, peace.
All right, peace.
All righty then. So that was Demaraye Dinnerin talking about his upcoming film, Genoma, which we're excited to see, a game changer in the entertainment industry, a franchise, African universe, which we can explore and get new stories from.
Yeah, and I think a key part is, you know, a story from the diaspora, you know, so some from the east to the west, which is going to be, again, fascinating. For those who like, you know, the expansion of the visuals of, you know, Black Panther per se, you know, it's nice to see something different than just, you know, New York and L.A., right? So it's going to be shot in Nigeria by the sounds of it, so people get to see the different, you know, parts of the world, you know, and the lushness.
Right, because so many times our view of what we think of, like, oh, what Nigeria might look like is not quite accurate, right? So, right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Word. And so, moving on, Tori, you mentioned Black Panther, so let's just get to the nitty gritty here. Avengers Endgame came out a couple of weeks ago, breaking all types of records.
Yeah.
Man, somebody even got beat up for telling spoilers when they came out the theater. I mean, this movie is.
And I think that's what is fascinating about this thing, right? This vehicle, really, because I think they don't. Black Panther, I don't want to make it about Black Panther, but I think Black Panther doesn't get the credit for the energy that is in these movies, really came from that movie. The groundswell of publicity and energy, it seems every movie after that was always that kind of level, you know, who could beat that story. So, it became a phenomena that's just bizarre, like Michael Jackson type level phenomena, and, you know, the excitement. And I think they said every 8 out of 10 ticket sales during that period was for Endgame, which is crazy, you know. And I think the marketing was excellent. The concept of how they built towards this finale was amazing, because I don't think everybody who went to see those movies actually, you know, had read the comics historically, so they managed to tell the story to audiences that weren't necessarily familiar with it, but had bought into the characters, you know, over time. And I think one of the most amazing things about the, I would say Disney, I guess, because you got to give credit. Marvel was a part of it, but it's how Disney, you know, and is it Kevin Feige or Feige or whatever his name is, and.
Well, Marvel was a creative force, but Disney was the marketing force. You know what I mean? Like, Disney
was
the business man that managed how you're going to put that creativity out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but I'm kind of saying is that it's not a case of a new story Marvel wrote for the movie. It's a way of telling those stories that really made a difference, because I'm sure, like, you know, like myself, I mean, we go back to, you know, Spider-Man and Amazing Friends cartoons and all the different permutations of the whole Rigno and, you know, those type of things. And I think, you know, the way they've managed to package this has made it what it is today, because it's become more than just theater, right? It's become a whole movement. And the last time I can think of anything to that level it was Star Wars, right? You know, in terms of having that kind of lasting effect where they connect so many movies before they even come out, everybody hype, you know? And it really
well, then that's what I'm saying. I'm like, there will not be anything else like this. This is something that only a comic book franchise could do, because like DC or Marvel, because they've had 70, 80 years of material, right, and fan service and loyalty. So the stories were already out there. That's why I said that Marvel was the creative force. Disney was the brain and economic and marketing genius behind giving them the tools that they needed to and the foresight and vision to see that, like, if we do this like how we do stuff at Disney, because Disney is great at making like a empire out of like snow, you know what I mean, out of fairy tale, right? So combine that with the stories that Marvel had, and you have the success. 22 films, right? Over 10 years. And you tell me, like, somebody that said, yo, it's going to be 10 years. It's going to be 10 years before we get to the end. It's going to be 10 years of movies before you get the finale. People are going to be like, you're out your damn mind, right? Like, you would have never thought, like, I'm not waiting 10 years for a finale. Are you kidding me? Right?
There's a button that
that's what they did. That's what they pulled off. Say again?
I don't disagree, but if I said to you, was the 10-year run for a Superman movie or a Batman movie, you would have believed that, because that's kind of where I'm, you know, like, because they've had more success in terms of, like, the original Superman, that was in the 70s, right? And then they did reboots over the years.
Right.
So that stood the test of time, because at each time it came out, especially the old one, they were considered classics. Everybody flocked to this. You know, everybody knows Superman.
Right, right. And they did the same thing with Spider-Man, too. They did the, what's his name?
The Tobey Maguire.
First guy who did Tobey Maguire, then Andrew Garfield, and then now, you know what I mean? They rebooted it. And, like, I get you. Like, yeah, like, okay, every 3 years you're doing the same thing. But you get a big turnout, but you don't get breaking Titanic record turnout. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't get a $1 billion box office.
Nah, they've hit on the formula now. That's what I'm saying is that I think they've got it now. Like, I think DC had it for a while, but not to this level. Now that Marvel/Disney have figured it out, because before it was DC and Warner Brothers, right? That was the partnership. Now it's Marvel and Disney, and you can't see any let up, because there's so many stories to tell, you know. And I mean, I think
DC is at an extreme. DC and Warner Brothers do not handle their business correctly over there, in the sense that, like, Henry Cavill's played Superman, but, like, he's been Superman for, like, almost 10 years.
Yep.
And he's only been in, like, two or three films?
About three. And even then, neither of them were. And that's the thing. They didn't really. He's a bit kind of stiff. You don't have the Robert Downey Jr. type personality. Plus, none of his movies, you can say, were, you know, classic.
They got Ben Affleck playing Batman, which he did a really good job of being Batman. But you've only seen him in the role, like, twice. One was only, like, for, like, 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, you got Wonder Woman 1984 coming out, and Flash was pushed back, you know what I mean? So we'll see how they rebound. Hopefully they'll take some hints from what Marvel and Disney are doing and try and turn it around over there. Because, you know, as comic book fans, we just want to see the stories, and we want to see them done good, done right. You know what I mean? Done well.
Yeah, you do it good, we'll pay our money. That's it, no doubt. And so how did you, because obviously this, this is the bridge between Infinity Wars. And I think if I recall, it's Infinity Wars. Then it was Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and then Endgame, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you take on that journey from Infinity War all the way to Endgame? You know, how did you find the movies in between? And obviously, how did you find Endgame?
I mean, Ant-Man and Wasp was really good. I mean, and you could tell it was it was the setup for what was coming. So it was a great, you know, Paul Rudd does a great job as that character. And it was a good movie. Captain Marvel, I was really impressed with Captain Marvel. I mean, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I loved it better than Wonder Woman. I could nitpick it, but we all knew they were introducing her, and let's see the story. Yeah. But
I think with these characters, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I don't reread the books. I just remember from back in the day, and that's what I would give my credit to, is whether my memory of the character fits what they present in the movie, if that makes sense. And that's what I think when I watched her movie, it did the job, it did the trick, because, you know, I think that's where, for me, the X-Men stuff fails, because it don't remind me of the books, per se, you know. It don't remind me of what I enjoyed in the comic books, whereas Captain Marvel, she was powerful, she was, you know, she was kind of feisty, she was really, you know, about learning about her origin and then trying to figure it all out, and it left me with this thing like, okay, wow, she's just as bad as she was, you know, in the comic books, which is kind of pleasing, you know. Yeah. It's like if you look at X-Men in the other Fox movies, whatever, Fox or Sony, whatever, Storm ain't Storm, man, you know?
No, that's not Storm at all. I'm still waiting for a proper version of Storm. Hopefully, you know, Disney Marvel will give us the Storm that we need. You know what I mean?
That's right. So in that context with Captain Marvel, I enjoy it in that sense because maybe you could, as you said, nitpick at one or two things, but she was as bad in the comics as she was, I mean, in the movies as she was in the comics. That's my recollection. I was like, damn, she's just as bad as she was in the comics. So that was pleasing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really well done story. I had no issues with it. Definitely. And then, of course, you know, Avengers Endgame, it was 3 hours long. The story in itself was average, but because they had to wrap up so much stuff, it gets a pass because of that. Like, it's 3 hours of pure entertainment. You know what I mean? Like, if you are a fan of the comics and the heroes, then you're happy with 3 hours because they tie up everything that they hinted at and put in the previous films. So even though the story was just kind of like I said, it wasn't an extraordinary story. It was, you know, it was like, oh, we're going to fix everything with time travel. And this is just go with us here. Like, push the I believe button. This is how time travel works. You know what I mean? Okay, let's do this. Let's wrap it up.
It was maybe the most fantasy out of all of them because it kind of reminded me in terms of time frame and enjoyment of what's that thing with the Lords of the Ring? I think the one with the kings, whatever. It was really it was a lot more fantasy stuff. But I think when
40-minute battle.
I said again.
The battle was 40 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, and it was like you could see it was all leading to something. And I think for me, it was not so much a movie; it was an experience. Because I think why I struggled to go and watch it again in the movie theater was. It was so much to digest. It was like an overload, man. It was like the wars, the fight scenes, the characters, the storylines. There was so much. I felt like, man, I just needed some DVD so I could sit back and watch it, rewind and watch it a few times because
It's definitely not a movie I could see in the theater again. DVD or if I'm on a plane, I'm watching. Yeah. I can watch that for sure. But
yeah.
I can't go to the theater either. You're right. It was long. Yeah. But I mean, it was enjoyably long. Like, I would not want it to be shorter because, like, you know, there were certain scenes I thought could have been longer. Like, you know, when they had all the MCU women attack. You know what I mean? That scene was like 35 seconds. Like, that could have been longer. You know?
And even still, I could have done another hour, man, because it was even like Hulk. I don't think Hulk got to shine, you know? Hulk.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people were hoping Hulk and Titan with Thanos would have a rematch. You know, there was a lot of questions unanswered still, like, you know, what happened with Vision.
Or not even Thanos' children, like in the Infinity War, right? That one of the Thanos' children, like, knocked the Hulk or was like battling Iron Man and Doctor Strange, like, you know what I mean? Like, the Hulk could have went toe to toe with him and tore him up.
That's right. We never got that moment, man.
Yeah. Definitely needed more Hulk. But I mean, this was pretty much the closure of Phase 4.
Yeah.
And we'll start the new ones. I guess there's no Marvel film until 2021.
Nah, because
so
they got Spider-Man.
After Spider-Man, there's no new Marvel film until 2021.
Really? For the rest of
the... I believe that's the case. It's either 2020 or 2021. Yes, they're taking a bit of a break. But you can kind of see that because they have the Disney streaming channel starting, and they're using, they have the actors from the films in their own series. Scarlet Witch and Vision, Hawkeye, Winter Soldier, and Falcon. And I think there's another one. I can't remember the other one. Loki. Right. So maybe they're focusing on those, and that's why they're not doing another movie until 2021. But it was a definite great closure. Huh?
Okay. I thought Black Panther was going to be sooner than that. That's like, okay.
No, I think Black Panther, Doctor Strange 2, and they drop in 2021. And Guardians of the Galaxy, that's dependent upon James Gunn finishing the Suicide Squad. But,
right.
Maybe, but you know, we do have Spider-Man Far From Home coming up, which is going to answer a lot of questions that Endgame left, right?
Yeah.
Which the biggest one being that they did mess up the timeline, or rather they created alternate timelines, which now gives you a way to bring the X-Men and Fantastic Four into the main MCU. So now you have the actual Earth 616 Marvel universe, right? Which is the one that we just wrapped up with Endgame. But now you get the opportunity with that, because I don't know if you saw the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer.
Yeah, I saw the part two and part one.
Yeah, when they show that Mysterio came from an alternate Earth.
Right.
Yeah, so now you have all these alternate timelines, alternate Earths, and so it's game on. And as a matter of fact, the Russos clarified, saying that, you know, Captain America went back in a time where there were two Captain Americas, so he could actually come back.
Wow, okay. So, or maybe rebooted like a different character as Captain America.
Yeah, I don't know. So the question was asked. They said that, you know, at what year did Captain America dancing with Peggy? And they said, well, we don't know that for now. But maybe in the future you'll find out. So, you know, they don't usually drop hints unless they know they have a plan or something. And it's also been reported that Chris Evans said that he would definitely come back if there was an opportunity to. So I think he's probably just been told to be really tight-lipped about his departure, and he will be back. You know what I mean?
But Robert Downey Jr. is definitely done, right?
He's definitely done. Yeah, he's definitely done. Him and Black Widow are definitely done, because when asked about the Soul Stone, they said Black Widow was gone forever. So Black Widow and Iron Man are definitely done. I don't know how they're going to bring Vision back. I guess we'll find out when Disney streaming starts.
Yeah, because he's a robot, right? So you can just make a robot and stuff. I tell you what I find fascinating about that as well is actually because it's funny, man. You think about it, you know, comic heads, you know, we've been kind of spoiled, man. Because my go-to comic books before, you know, Iron Man, my go-to movies actually before Iron Man was... obviously, Blade, you know what I mean? Then,
well, Blade set it off.
Blade set it off. But
paved the way,
Spawn was another one. And of course, Dark Knight for me was that still remains the standard for me, because I think it didn't even feel like a comic book movie, you know, that Kevin Nolan one. The Kevin Nolan, Chris Nolan. And it's not because of Heath Ledger. Everybody says, I actually find the reason I love that movie is more to do with what's his name now? The Batman character.
Christian Bale?
Yeah, because I don't know, man. Batman is like a James Bond type franchise, you know? Depending on who the actor is, you get a different type of Batman, right? All the way back to Adam West. But how I perceive Christian Bale to be, voice aside, is how I always perceive Batman to be like in the comic books, you know, dark, mysterious, aloof, disconnected, you know, messed up in the head, but a bad man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when I caught a movie that's an epic. It was very dark, very serious, but it was constant action, man. It was all knitted together so well. So I was thinking about that I was talking to a friend of mine, we were talking about the top five. And so for me, Dark Knight's still at the top.
Even over Black Panther and Endgame and Infinity War.
Yeah, I think Black Panther was more your emotional movie, as in a euphoria, as opposed to, I've watched it, as you can imagine, like most people, multiple times. Like, and it's nothing while in the movie per se, it's the way that, you know, Kruger put it together. That to me was wow. Like, he really made it, like Blade, like he made it good. Like, I think most people were scared of how they was make Black Town Square. They was hoping that they would do it justice. And so they call it a cultural phenomenon because he did it right. You know what I mean? He did it right. It's like if they were to do a Michael Jackson movie, you know the story's going to be good, but can they get the right script and the right actor to do it right? You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, no, I know.
Black Panther, but with... I think I still... It's a debate between if it's Endgame or Black Panther's number two for me, but I...
Well, what about Thor Ragnarok? You say you like some Hulk action, like Thor Ragnarok. You got Planet Hulk. You know what I mean? You got World Breaker Hulk in Thor Ragnarok.
You know what's crazy? I'm watching it right now as we're talking. I ain't lying to them. Since we had Demirai on, I've been having Thor Ragnarok on anyway in the background. So as a movie, just watching on Blu-ray. It was a good movie, but I don't know, man. I mean, everybody's got a preference, but I think the one thing the Marvel movies I've enjoyed is that they've made the movies very well. They got the characters cast as well, etc. But I always found Spider-Man aside, and maybe the X-Men, I never found the characters as funny as the characters in the Marvel movies. I just find a Dark Knight, it's like, I don't know, man. I can't explain it other than I was never a big Batman guy. But that's the Batman movie. I like Spawn. I like Hellboy. I like, you know what I mean? I like them kind of superheroes.
Right,
movies. Right. Like Blade, you know what I'm saying? I like the X-Men, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm really looking forward to what they do with the X-Men. You know, Endgame. Is Endgame better than Infinity Wars? Hard to say because we're still soaking in the Endgame, you know, hype and you know, greatness. You know what I mean?
You cannot beat Infinity Wars ending, right? You know what I'm saying? That was just
badass.
For me, Thor Ragnarok is up there, man. Like Thor Ragnarok is really good movie.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what I mean? It's a really good movie. It has really good comic elements in it, like comic book elements in it. And then, I like Suicide Squad. I also like Suicide Squad. I thought Suicide Squad was really well done. You know what I mean?
I liked it, but I've only watched it once, so that usually says a lot, man. It was okay. I wasn't, you know, blown out. I like the first couple of Hellboys that came out. What I liked about Ragnarok was there was no downtime, you know. For me, it's just comparative with the first four. I enjoyed it on that basis. A good story, good movie. But you ain't answered the question, man. Infinity War or Black Panther?
Oh, man, that's a...
It's a tough one, right?
Black Panther is canon. Like, it's set up, you know what I mean? Infinity War, it's set up everything. And you got more time. I mean, Black Panther is my favorite comic book character of all time. So,
okay.
Like, I'm going to say Black Panther just because of that. Like, it gave me, it didn't give me the T'Challa I wanted, but it gave me the T'Challa we needed. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Because they kind of split T'Challa with, like, Shuri is that intelligent in the comic book, but so is T'Challa. You know what I mean?
Right,
and they've kind of not really given him his tactical and strategic edge. You haven't really seen that yet. Like, this is a dude that sat down to lunch with Tony Stark, bought Stark Industries, and gave it back to him by the end of the lunch. You know what I mean? Like, this is like one of the best comics series ever. Secret Wars, See Wakanda and Die. Like, they were the only people to detect the Skrulls during the Skrull invasion. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think, you know what? That's a good point because that's something I was thinking about. The only thing I think why Infinity War and Endgame, I think, don't trump Black Knight for me was because, I mean, Dark Knight, sorry, is that I actually enjoyed Infinity Wars, the comic books, a bit more than I did the two movies, because whilst you couldn't do the same thing, it wasn't as close as I would have liked it to be. It took the premise and the principles and made it its own. I get that. But again, as a comic book geek, Spawn was as close to Spawn the comic book as I'd wanted. Hellboy, I was never a big Hellboy fan, but I knew of Hellboy, and I enjoyed the way they shot that. They put together. If I think of the Joker, Two-Face, all those characters, the closest I've ever seen it to being is Dark Knight, man. That's,
right.
That's the closest.
And don't forget the Watchmen movie.
Yeah, no, that was quite... But I didn't know the comic book, but I enjoyed the movie. And
oh,
the movie.
Man. I absolutely loved that comic book growing up.
Okay.
I thought that comic book... I mean, it won a Pulitzer Prize. It was the first one that ever won a Pulitzer Prize. It was always one of the best comic books. It's also, to me, it's one of the best, closest... it was like the closest iteration to the book, that movie.
Heard,
you know,
yeah,
there were obviously some things they changed, but you know,
yeah.
I thought it was well done. I liked it. And I'm kind of curious about how they're gonna do an HBO series on it. You know what I mean?
Watchmen.
So that's coming out in the fall. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's funny, because actually that's the Black Panther moment that I have, is that, because you know, I've been working on this project, and that's my thing. Like, just similar to the conversation we just had with Demariah, like when you tell something from the heart, it has to feel real. And I think that's the thing about, you know, we have, it's like watching, I don't know about for you, but when I watched the Ray, the movie, the Jamie Foxx movie, that's what made me love it, because I grew up, I was an Asian Ray Charles fan, but I knew Ray Charles' music and I knew Ray Charles. So when
right.
I watched it, I was like, man, this is Ray Charles. Like, wow, this is, you know, This is not like the movie Ali with Will Smith, where you're saying, man, well, kind of, okay. You know, that's what Black Panther represented to me. So it wasn't so much, was it a great movie or not? It was more like, growing up, Black Panther was, Wolverine was my favorite comic book character, because it kind of reminded me of myself, a bit of a maverick, a rebel, whatever. Didn't give too much of a, you know, didn't get too S, right? And
yeah.
When I looked at Black Panther, though, he was regal. Like, he was powerful and regal. That's always my recollection of him. He was a badass, but in a sense, like, he was like a better version of Thor. Like, Thor was a god, but T'Challa was royalty, you know, unquestioned, you know what I mean? He never fell down. He was always great. So when I saw the way they represented him in the comic books, I mean, in the movie, that's the thing. I, you know, Wakanda looked like the Wakanda, it in some ways even looked kind of better than how they dropped it in the comic books, because it was from a, you know, Black man's perspective, and the way they had the characters and the relation to the characters, you could tell it was the way a Black man wrote it. Even, you know, Killmonger, everything was on point, because I thought, yeah, this is, if I had, you know, if I had said, if Demariah said, yo, Disney just cut me a check to make Black Panther, I would imagine this is a kind of, you know, movie it would have been. In fact, shout out to John Singleton, you know, recognizing, you know, his loss to us, you know, because he was working on Black Panther movie with Wesley Snipes, isn't it, back in the day. So maybe, you know, just the kind of stuff he would have got towards. But I entertainment wise, I watched Black Panther, man. I'm way past double figures.
Yeah,
but
if anyone is curious, one of the best runs of Black Panther was written by Reginald Hudlin. So if you go back and get the run of Black Panther that Reginald Hudlin wrote, it was really good. It was a modernized, it was cool, slick, Shaft-esque version of Black Panther.
Right.
I would advise anyone to check that out. That's one of the best runs of Black Panther in the comic book series. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So in terms of the next level for the MCU, that's very interesting about the gap, you know, that they're leaving. But they couldn't have done it any better, and they couldn't have ended it any better. So that's a plus. And that's the another thing I think they did very well was I was always a big Thanos fan. And he wasn't as human as in the comic book, because Thanos was quite poetic and stuff, but I think that was as close as you're going to get it, that the way they made him in the in the movies. It's not like where the X-Men franchise screwed up Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, how they ruined Apocalypse?
Yeah, you know, this Thanos, they got him on point, as on point as you can be, so.
Yeah, shout out to the Mad Titan, Thanos.
Yeah.
Genocide on Titan.
Hard attacks, man.
But he was definitely as close to the book as you get. And you know what? I don't, another thing they say, like, so Thanos is around still. You know what I mean?
He didn't die?
Well, he got snapped, but, like, they created an alternate timeline, so there could be another Thanos out there.
Right.
Maybe they'll go into the storyline where he's a nihilist and he's trying to marry Mistress Death. I don't know.
That's the part. Like, this is the whole, I guess, where maybe it's a break is not a bad thing, because more than anything else, I would really want them to read Fantastic Four and X-Men. And if you reboot Fantastic Four, you got to bring in Silver Surfer. And then if you bring in Silver Surfer, then you got to bring in Galactus. And I'm like, you know what? I'm ready for new stories, man. I'm kind of, you know, I'm good. I never really liked the Avengers that much back in the day, to be honest.
Whoa. The Avengers was like the main...
X-Men versus Avengers, man. I was all
X-Men. Yeah. Well, there is that comic. Maybe they'll make that a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was all in.
Which is an excellent comic book series, by the way. If you've not read Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's the Professor X Xavier. Definitely check out Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this is why they're doing a break and not coming out till 2021, like, you know, instead of oversaturating, people are going to want, they're going to be wanting, like, well, what, once this, like, in-game hangover wears off, they're going to be like, oh, what's the next movie? You get a little Spider-Man, and then you're like, okay, what's the next one? And then if you don't have one till for 2 years, people are going to be like, yo, wait, what are they going to do? What's the next thing? And so people will really be anticipating.
And I don't disagree, but there's a danger in that, which is, right? And I know a lot of you may not agree, but this is my view. I'm a Marvel head. I've always been a Marvel head, but DC have really strong characters and storylines as well. And
poor production.
Huh?
But poor production, man.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying it takes getting the right director and producer, you know, getting that right partnership, if you know what I mean? Because the stories are there. Listen, man, you get a good Flash. Flash is one of the strongest characters ever, you know what I mean? Regardless of Marvel or DC. You know, you don't even compare Quicksilver and Flash, even though it's the same character. Because Quicksilver couldn't even lace Flash's boots, you know what I mean? The Flash is done right. With Kid Flash and all that kind of stuff. Plus, did you ever see?
You could do the Flashpoint series, but you can't do a Flashpoint movie because you haven't built up Wonder Woman or Superman or Aquaman, really. You know what I mean?
That gives them that space. You know, in terms of competition wise, I'm not saying they will definitely do it, but if they got that formula right for, let's say, Justice League 2, whatever,
right,
they delivered a good movie, you know, because as I said, those. Listen, man, everybody know Wonder Woman, everybody knows Superman, everybody knows Batman. Those characters don't need to be built. They just need to be told correctly. You know what I mean?
I'm all for it. I would love to see them get it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like, exactly. Right now, there's no plans for a Justice League 2. You know what I mean?
Okay, they scrapped it. I thought it was. Maybe they scrapped it because of the poor showing, right? Maybe that.
They fired, like, you know, there was just a whole bunch of issues with the writer, director.
All right, what about, I'm going to throw something crazy out to you then, man. What if, right, they gave somebody like Spike, right? My man Spike, he needs a bone. What if they gave Spike Cyborg, man? What if they gave Spike Cyborg? I mean, Spike can't really do sci-fi, but Spike's a good storyteller.
That's not going to happen.
But I'm saying, Cyborg is a great story. He's a hell of a story.
Yeah, but they have Cyborg on DC on the DC Universe app. If you watch Doom Patrol, Cyborg is on there. So they have Cyborg. I mean, obviously they want to take that to the big screen, and they showed him in Justice League. But yeah, man, like they said, Zack Snyder said that Justice League 2 isn't happening anytime soon.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed the Marvel run, but you know, I'm true to the comic full stop, man, and I can't say I'm in one major. Because even what was the end of Aquaman or one of them where they showed Deadshot? Was it Deadshot? Or no, it wasn't Deadshot. It was somebody, man. Was it Deadshot? The Deadpool equivalent in DC.
So Aquaman 2 is coming out in 2022.
Wow. I guess time flies anyway, man. It's 3 years from now. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, here we go. Joker. So, there's a Joker movie coming in October with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, they got that guy Leto, Jared Leto, man. That's going to be a letdown.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is really hit or miss. Then there's a Birds of Prey movie coming in February 2020, which is going to star... Harley Quinn and some others. Well, it's the team, the Birds of Prey. Was it Harley Quinn, Canary, and Huntress, I think?
Right.
And then Wonder Woman 1984, which is in June of 2020. And then there's a Batman, which is in development for 2021, in June of 2021.
That's the one I'm going to look forward to. That. Because I think, you know what, and it's all compared, man. You know, Batman is one of those characters, man, where he don't have a lot of powers and all these kind of special effects. But if you tell the story right, you know, people love a Batman story, man. They love a Batman story.
Yeah, but like I said, man, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So that's a long time, man. But hey, they have their streaming app too. They have shows coming out on there. Swamp Thing is coming out. The Doom Patrol is in season now. Titans was actually a decent show.
I loved it, man. I thought it was pretty good.
I did. I loved it. I'm not hot on Doom Patrol. I watch it, but I'm like, eh. It gets like a 7, 6.5, 7. It's not really great. I can miss it, or you know what I mean? Like, I'm not checking for it. Titans, I was checking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, I don't know. I guess we'll see when that comes out. I mean, but then you got to compete with the Disney app and what they're going to be bringing. Live action Star Wars, the Mandalorian. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, so, I guess the good thing about it all, though, is that there's plenty of content for people who love comic books and sci-fi. You know what I mean? That's the great thing about it. And, you know, shout out to Sebastian Jones of Stranger Comics. Niobe has been picked up by HBO, and that'll be coming to HBO live action. So another friend of the show, glad to see that. And then we have Indaya Okafor, one of her shows is she's a very good sci-fi writer. One of her shows is coming to HBO. What Marvel has done is they've opened the doors for a lot of other people to come in and tell their stories. And that's a good thing. Like, you had the Umbrella Academy on Netflix, right? That was an independent, you know, that wasn't straight from DC or Marvel. That was a comic book, you know, from another company, another house, like that.
And as you said, it's you know, it's speed in the market. That's what people want to see. That's what the studios are going to keep, you know, turning out, right?
Right.
And I guess also what's very good is, as you said, the TV shows, because I haven't caught up to all of the second series of, in fact, I watched it today, Cloak and Dagger, but I watched the first series. I thought it was okay. American Gods is okay.
Cloak and Dagger is good. Second season has been really good.
Yeah, I'm going to catch that today, so don't No spoilers, man. I'm trying to catch up. But, yeah, and I know things. I didn't catch the Daredevil one, but I heard that was pretty good. So I think there's enough, you know. Luke Cage, I think, was good. But I don't know what it was, but it just seemed. I don't know if they were trying too hard or what, but I'm a little interested after about halfway through the show. I don't know. Maybe because the character, the actor wasn't that great. I don't know. Something like that. It's a good storyline, a good series, but I don't know. I didn't follow it all the way through. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, also, I didn't want to forget. I meant to shout this out. Fast Color. There's an independent movie out. It's called Fast Color. It's a sci-fi. It's got 89% by Rotten Tomatoes. Distributed by Code Black Films. But it's about these three generations of black women who have superhuman powers that can affect. They live in a dystopian world and they can effectively help save the world. So. Fast Color is out right now.
You know what called Dog Man or Dog War or something like that?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, somebody was telling me about it. It's on Netflix. Dog War, God War, something like that. I'm gonna look it up. I just can't find it. Yeah, there's a lot of good content at the moment. Keep us busy. My preference is that we get another Batman, you know, run wherever it may be. If it's gonna be what's his name again? The last one. He's that guy just talked about him. What is Injustice League?
Aquaman?
Nah, the Batman character. He played Batman.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah, so they got him to sign. He'll be doing the Batman movie. I don't exactly know what it's about, but
if that's all right, that will give. It's always enjoyable if it's a good, you know, a good movie for the Batman character, you know.
So we have a lot to look forward to, comic book fans, sci-fi fans. Also, The Expanse is coming back in mid-July. Same thing with Rick and Morty will be back mid-July, August. So, yeah, there's a lot of good content for comic book fans, sci-fi fans. And stay tuned to Afronauts. We'll always be keeping you up to date and have an interesting guest, as well as philosophical conversations about how we can make this world a better place. We consider ourselves futurist, and we look forward to moving the needle of progress forward for humanity. And we want to give a big shout out to the Conservancy Corp, Edgewood Foundation, who sponsor us. Other than that, I have nothing else to say. What's up, Seth? Do you have anything to say before we let the people go?
Yeah, as you said, man, we'll keep people posted on all the latest things that's going on within the comic world, upcoming projects in the movie world, etc. And you know, as you said, man, we'll be looking forward to further interesting debate on things of people's interest. And if people have particular things they would like for us to talk about, feel free to email us or contact us, and we'll pick up on those subjects.
Yes, definitely. You can catch us at the Edfood Foundation /Afronauts Collective or at Asian Afronaut on Instagram, at Asian Afronaut on Twitter, or Afronauts Collective on Facebook. Thanks for joining us today on our show. Again, thanks to our guest, Mariah Dinneran. Thanks to my co-host, Seth Mills, calling from across the pond in England. Shout out to Liverpool, which we didn't even mention, that Barcelona win. Man.
Well, we was there. Got to seal the deal now. Go pick up that European Cup.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, they dropped that game to Manchester City, so they did not win the EPL, but they do still have a chance to win the European Championship. So, shout out to Liverpool. Good luck versus Tottenham. And, word, anything else before we go?
Yeah, we got some Game 7s today in the NBA, so So, you know, yes. NBA alive and kicking, man. So,
so we got Toronto versus Philly, and yeah. What's the next one?
We got the Nuggets and the man, Blazers.
Nuggets and Trailblazers, yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting on both sides because there's no LeBron in the East. So the East going to have a new representative, and everybody's calling.
I'm picking Milwaukee fire. Coming out of the East right now. I know you like you the Sixers, but the Giannis you know kid is...
He's something else. But I, you know, I'm gonna go with my Sixers. You know me, my bias. So
yeah, I know you like the Sixers, but Embiid's just been hurt and sick, and so
yeah.
I don't think they're gonna be able to pull it. They ain't gonna be able to. That stuff ain't gonna work against Giannis and the Bucks. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? You get a break in between. I'll tell you what I'll say is this, man. Kawhi Leonard has been something else. I don't know what happened, but this dude. I think because he don't have the vocals, like he's very, humble.
Right.
He's playing on another level, man. You know, he's quite young. I think he's in his 20s still, right? And he could easily go down as one of the all-time greats. Like, this dude is unstoppable. Both ends of the court. People forget he's the champion, you know, the NBA Finals MVP. Because of how he played LeBron James when the Spurs won it many years ago. But don't pull it past him, man. If they do get past the Sixers, you know, 7 games down is just like down is the basket. Yeah, I think Kawhi is like 8. Giannis is like 11. But Kawhi is a beast, man. So.
He don't have the team there, man. Kyle Lowry, he just don't always show up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So,
well, we gonna. Before,
I think.
Yeah.
Nah, go ahead.
Nah, you say carry on.
No, I was just gonna say I think Kawhi is one and done at Toronto. I don't think he's gonna be there next year.
Yeah, I don't disagree. In fact, the offseason gonna be maybe just as exciting as the regular season because you got Butler, you got Kawhi, you got LeBron situation, you got a lot of stuff, a lot of coaching carousel.
KD. KD.
Yeah, KD, Kyrie. Oh, you got Zion coming. Yo, what's your take on Zion?
Man? Oh, man, I hope the Knicks can get him.
Yeah, you'll be happy if the Knicks get him, man. I'm hoping he's as advertised because he's a man amongst boys right now. You know, so the NBA is a different story, but if the Knicks should get him, I mean, hopefully they get the luck. That'd be nice. If the Knicks get relevant again, that'd be really nice.
Yes, that would be. It's been years.
So who's your pick on for the finals?
So who's going to the finals, you say?
Yeah, you go into the finals, you're winning it all.
Man, it's hard for me to pick against the Warriors, man. I live in the Bay.
I was going to say, Warriors, especially coming from the Bay Area, you don't want no trouble.
Nah, not just that. I mean, the Warriors, they got that good feel about them. I mean, even though they're having issues with KD, the Warriors, yeah, man. I don't see anyone beating them unless, you know what I mean? Like, you want to beat a champ, you got to beat the champ. That's how I say it, like.
I agree with you because as much as Giannis is a beast, the worst matchup for Giannis could be. I mean, they took three out of no, they took I think they took both games against the Warriors in the regular season. But KD versus Giannis is gonna be epic if it becomes Giannis in the final because they're both the same size, but they play different ways. And they can cancel each other out easily because Giannis will take it down the middle. KD will take Giannis outside. But I can't wait either way, man. I go to Warriors as well, man. I go to Warriors in the finals, and I don't think the team's going to be close. I think whoever they get in the finals, they ain't going to be used to it, and they'll take some things easy.
Right. Yo, again, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for you joining in, Seth, and peace to everyone.
Indeed, peace.
been here for as long as I remember, running through the plains of civilized Ethiopia.
Way back then, we used to call it Abyssinia, played by the now